This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
A luxurious house nestles amid well-kept grounds. A Spelling Goldberg production. Natalie Wood. Robert Wagner. The Affair, with narrative description by AudioVision Canada. A film by Gilbert Cates. Also starring Bruce Davidson and Jamie Smith Jackson. Produced by Aaron Spelling and Leonard Goldberg. A Pair of Horses Runs Across a Paddock Together. Written by Barbara Turner. A young man and woman approach the house on horseback. Directed by Gilbert Cates. Walking toward the riders, a man in a suit accompanies an older man. From atop her horse, the woman smiles at the older man.
I missed you at breakfast.
I slept in. Sorry.
She turns to the man in the suit.
Hello?
He nods.
Well, this is Mr. Simon.
Hello, Mr. Simon.
Mr. Simon nods at the young rider.
The man's frozen.
Mr. Simon half smiles at her. When the riders move off, the older man looks at Mr. Simon.
You prefer to go in?
Mr. Simon looks at his host, then nods. Later, inside the house, the woman sits reading beside a pool table as a workman washes windows outside. Mr. Simon enters the room.
Yes?
Sorry.
It's all right.
I've been left on my own. I don't know what to do with myself.
The woman resumes her reading, then looks up again. Fidgeting self-consciously, Mr. Simon looks at her. She removes her reading glasses.
Are you doing some work for my father?
You're not really interested.
Not especially.
He inherited. His attorney had a heart attack.
Oh. Will he be all right?
He's dead.
Reacting to her laugh, Mr. Simon grins.
Is that funny?
I'm sorry.
He looks at her appraisingly.
Will you excuse me?
Yeah. Are those yours?
She looks at him, then at the crutches nearby.
Why are they yours?
No.
Then they must be mine.
Unnerved, his smile fades. Then he leaves. Later.
Let's eat.
At lunch.
Mr. Simon, you caught us in what our children call their compulsory weekend. It's reserved for family.
It's unkind. It's not like you. Jennifer, my father. Jennifer Locke.
Jennifer regards her host.
Mr. Patterson?
What have you decided to do with yourself?
Well, I'm not sure what would please you.
Or is that what's holding you up?
Absolutely. Hey, Courtney, I got your present. It was supposed to be for your birthday, but then it wasn't ready, and then I wasn't sure I could pull it off.
Courtney is the woman who uses crutches.
All right.
The young man leaves to get her gift. Then Courtney eyes her father.
My turn. Do you want to start on me?
Well, he invites it.
Have you a first name, Mr. Simon?
Marcus.
Are you staying through dinner, Mr. Marcus?
Marcus turns to Mrs. Patterson.
No, I don't think so. I have to be back in Los Angeles.
Happy birthday. Your humble beginnings.
He hands Courtney a large flat package wrapped in plain paper.
Wrong move.
Where did you dig it up?
Oh, I found it. I've had it forever. Is it okay? Really?
Oh, really? Oh, it's terrific. What is it, Courtney?
Courtney turns the framed poster toward her mother.
It's me.
It shows a little girl on crutches beneath the slogan, Fight Polio.
No angelic cherub in that face, but a terrific fundraiser, right? War hero father. We got them where they lived, didn't we, Daddy?
For God's sake, Courtney.
It's insane. And it's mine. And I love it.
She smiles at her brother.
And thank you.
Then gives him a kiss. Marcus regards her with interest. Later, music wafts from the open window of a smaller, well-appointed house. Inside, Courtney pushes a tea wagon across the floor.
La, la, la. If you wouldn't do that, maybe.
She talks to a tape player atop her dining table. She grabs the phone.
I'm working, Michael. Hello?
Hello, Miss Patterson.
Who's this?
Marcus Simon.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Just a moment.
Courtney turns off the tape player.
You can hear me now.
I don't know if you...
Yes, in San Francisco, at the house.
What can I do for you, Mr. Simon?
Marcus hesitates.
Are you free for dinner?
How did you get my number?
The firm has a client in music publishing. Why?
It's all right. I always ask. Nobody ever tries the phone book.
Silver-framed photos of two young boys sit on Marcus's desk.
Yes,
you're one of those liberals that tells Polish jokes, aren't you?
I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of work. Goodbye, Mr. Simon.
Courtney hangs up. Marcus looks ruefully at the receiver.
Marcus.
Later, at a recording studio... Courtney prepares to sing.
Dark as night, I lost my light. It was so beautiful. I was never wrong before. Now I can't see you anymore. Took the sun, you were the only.
Inside the studio, Marcus gets out of a car, then walks toward two men.
Hello, Pippadil.
Hi.
Excuse me. Marcus Simon.
I'm Michael. Jeff said you want to take a look around. Anything special?
Courtney Patterson's under contract to you.
Yeah? You a friend of hers?
A fan.
The two enter the studio building. Mike opens a control room door.
Yeah, she's cutting her dinner. Come on.
They enter. Marcus watches Courtney intently through the control room window as she listens to a tape of the recording session.
I never saw the sun before. Now I can't see you anymore.
Looking up, Courtney notices Marcus watching her. When he nods to her and smiles, she nods back, unsmiling. Later, Courtney and her writing partner sit in a bar.
They're sitting to finish up, but maybe in the afternoon, okay?
Mm-hmm. What time?
I don't know. Whatever.
3 or 4?
Yes. Good.
When Marcus approaches their table, Courtney looks, then looks again.
May I join you?
Courtney shoots her partner a glance.
All right.
A waitress arrives.
Scotch and soda and another rum.
Oh.
Not for me, thanks. I have to take off. My old lady's got dinner. excuse me? You're right?
Yes. Tomorrow?
3 or 4? Which?
4.
Good. Better for me.
Okay.
Good night. Night.
Leaning forward, Marcus fixes Courtney in his gaze.
Do I make you uncomfortable?
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry. I'll leave if you like.
It's all right. I'll manage.
He smiles at her. Self-conscious, she smiles back.
We've got nothing to really talk about, do we?
How does one become a lyric writer?
Is my father a very difficult client?
I don't know. I didn't think I could handle it, so I bowed out.
Oh, that was a mistake. He's a giant. You should have got to know him.
Why won't you have dinner with me?
It's nothing personal. I don't have dinner with anybody. My life is very full, you see, and I don't really see why I have to explain myself.
You don't. Not to me.
She considers his words.
If you're all that hungry, I'll take you home and feed you.
He grins.
That would be very nice.
Later, after dinner.
He's your average nice person, I suppose, but he's standing in my doorway with one of my kids in his arms and the other one in tow, and he asked me how things went in San Francisco. I don't know what he's supposed to be. Anne takes it all in stride. She does every disaster. I kept wondering what this guy was doing in my house, and I had to keep reminding myself that it wasn't my house anymore, or my wife. Howard.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
He unbuttons a sleeve.
I won't do them tonight.
I don't want anyone calling my kids sport, especially if he's living in my house.
Courtney meets his eyes, smiling. Slowly her smile fades, but she maintains eye contact.
I'm not going to hurt you.
It's late. I've got tons of work tomorrow.
Then we should say goodnight.
I think so.
Crossing the room, he picks up his jacket, then slips it on as she stands nearby, smiling.
Good night.
Good night.
He turns on his heel, then she watches as he strides toward the door. Stopping at the door, he turns back and looks at her.
Thanks for tonight.
You're welcome.
Marcus waves, and when she waves back, he leaves. The next day, Courtney's writing partner enters her dimly lit office.
Oh. Need a ride home? Be a good girl and bring me a lyric tomorrow?
Wash your mouth out with soap.
Okay, take care. You want the light on? Bye.
When he leaves, Courtney turns to her piano. Entering the office unseen, Marcus touches Courtney's shoulder.
You're not late, are you?
No, I don't think so.
No, you're not.
Have a bad day?
No, good. Unbelievable.
Hungry?
No.
May I turn on a light?
Oh.
She turns on a desk lamp.
Tired?
No.
What then?
Happy. No?
Yes. I'll buy that. Why don't we get some fresh air?
A walk.
If you'd like.
Courtney gets to her feet, then grasps her crutches.
You know what I remember most about the first day we met? My brother recited the lyric of Little Orphan Annie to me.
Does it hold up?
Not really, no.
Standing close to each other, they look into one another's eyes. He touches her face tenderly, then kisses her. They part, then kiss again. Later in the country, Marcus's car slows, then turns up a laneway toward an inn. Soon, Courtney and Marcus are driven to a cabin on a golf cart. When the cart stops, a bellhop gets out and scoops up their baggage, then walks toward the cabin as Marcus lifts Courtney in his arms. Marcus carries Courtney up steps to the cabin. Inside, he inspects their rustic surroundings.
Well, I remember it being a little better than this.
Oh, I like it. I really kind of like it.
Moving to an armchair, he lowers her into it. She smiles happily at him. Marcus crosses to an interior door, opens it, peers inside at the bathroom, then closes the door.
Did you ask for this cabin especially?
Yes.
Oh.
What's that mean?
Nothing. Oh. Just an ordinary oh.
He smiles. Then walks to the bed and sits on it.
You're disappointed.
Really not.
Would you like to leave?
Would you?
I think so.
You don't.
I won't. I won't mention it again.
Why did you come?
Because you asked me.
Good.
Because no one's ever asked me.
Looking at her, he understands her meaning.
I'm 32, Marcus.
All right. You'll get served at the bar.
Courtney smiles nervously, then avoids his eyes.
I don't think I'm any good at this. Oh, I hate that. I'm sorry. I never do that.
Watching her face intently, he moves close to her.
You're beautiful, Courtney. Nothing less.
He kisses her, and their lips linger, then part. She looks into his face adoringly.
There's no getting around it, is there?
Again, their lips meet in a tender kiss. Later, in bed, he lies beside her, watching her sleeping form by the light of a fire. He leans over to kiss her. And her eyes open.
I'm not asleep. Did you sleep at all?
I've been watching you.
I know. I can feel it. Don't go away.
No.
Marcus strokes her face tenderly.
That's nice. Everything you do is very nice. Is it all right?
He considers his answer.
Not bad. But I wouldn't think about going into business.
All right.
I'm deeply, genuinely in love with you.
Studying her face for a reaction, his expression is serious. Courtney looks him in the eyes, unsmiling.
Don't do that to me. Not yet.
He ponders this.
I'm hungry. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Reaching across her, he grasps a watch from the nightstand.
4 o'clock in the morning. I don't think we have a prayer.
As he replaces the watch, he kisses her.
I'll get you something to eat.
Marcus rolls out of bed. Walking around it to her side, he stoops to kiss her again. He looks at her laying in bed.
Come on. I'll race you to the car.
Marcus moves toward the bathroom.
What would you like?
A steak. Baked potato with lots of butter and a good bottle of red wine.
You got it.
Next morning, at the seaside...
I had a roommate my first year at Bennington. Susie Terrence. Susan Watley Terrence. Would have had a dozen scholarships, except she had money. Dance major. Very pretty. She did everything well. One of those. The first month, she broke an ankle skiing. She wasn't out of the cast a week when she fell a flight of steps and tore a tendon. And then, one thing after the other. She was on crutches the full semester. Her family finally came and collected her. She wasn't accident prone. The doctors thought she was over-identified. We weren't very close, even. Susan Terrence. Over-identified. Can you imagine?
Courtney looks at him.
Now, why did I tell you that?
As waves roll into the sandy beach, the two sip coffee in silence. Later, Marcus picks up his sons from a suburban house. They run toward his car.
Front seat.
Courtney sits in the back.
This is Courtney.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Peter and Evan.
You're Evan.
No, he's Evan.
Okay.
Break your leg?
No.
The boys look at her, puzzled. At the seaside, after Marcus buys them popcorn, the boys move off. Later, with his sons, Marcus smiles down at Courtney from a lighthouse. Soon after, the boys play pinball. With Courtney out of earshot, Marcus plays a game of foosball with Peter and Evan.
Is she coming with us for the tree?
I don't know.
Oh. And Christmas, too?
Come on, Peter. Spit it out.
Nothing. She's nice.
Courtney.
What?
She has a name.
Oh, yeah, I know. Courtney. You like Howard?
I don't know, Howard. Do you like Howard?
He's all right.
When Courtney looks up at the rooftop deck where Marcus and the boys are playing, Marcus sees her.
How you holding up?
I'm fine.
Herding the boys away from the game, Marcus heads toward a staircase. That night, Courtney stands on a balcony, staring pensively into the darkness. Marcus joins her on the balcony.
Your cat's cold.
No. You get them home all right? Tucked in?
Yes.
They couldn't wait.
Well, let them know.
I'm going to pass on the tree.
He looks at her in dismay, but she avoids his eyes. Then turns to him, unsmiling.
All right. And Christmas, too?
Most likely.
Right.
Peter asked me if I lived here.
What did you tell him?
The truth. Sometimes. I'm gonna go.
All right, I'll drive you home. Don't go.
All right.
I love you.
I know. Thank you.
Later, at an airport, Courtney's brother Jamie walks through the crowd. He smiles when he spots his sister and moves to greet her. The two embrace happily. Soon, Courtney rides with her brother in a sports car. They cross the Golden Gate Bridge through a mist that hangs over the bay. Leaving the highway, the sports car turns up a country road. A gardener waves as the car moves past him into the Patterson estate. Holding a music box, Mrs. Patterson smiles happily as she sits amid her family on Christmas Day. She turns to Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie. Come on, Mom. One time through. It's been ages. I'll say I'm lucky. This is my lucky day. Now I'm in clover. I'm glad all over. I want to shout hooray.
Hooray!
I found a horse who couldn't go wrong. And then a horse happened along. Oh, boy, I'm lucky. I'll say I'm lucky. This is my lucky day.
Later, Courtney takes a phone call.
Hello?
Merry Christmas.
How are you?
Middling.
I've missed you.
Well, you have your obligations.
Yes. And you. Marcus?
I'm in San Francisco. Business.
On Christmas?
Do I see you?
Of course.
Later, at Marcus's hotel, the two lie in bed together. Courtney dozes happily, but Marcus is awake.
Oh,
no.
Afraid so. Get back your family. I'll cancel out my appointment.
All right. I can't. Come for dinner.
All right.
Good.
Nestled in his arms, she looks up at him, smiling. Then sits up. She reaches for her watch, then puts it on.
Marcus? I don't think about you when we're not together.
He raises himself to face her.
How do you manage that?
I can't talk about you. I don't want to rush to the phone and call. It's awful. Because I can't imagine anymore how it could have been before you. I'm not making any sense.
What are you doing, Clara?
I'm not doing fine, for God's sake. I can make you disappear.
But it's a lot of work. It's me.
Nervous, she can't meet his eyes.
I think this may be a good place to quit.
Before it gets messy.
before I can't let go. I think I must be very scared.
He looks away in disappointment. Marcus kisses her hand gently, then nuzzles it with his lips. She watches him and smiles weakly when he looks up at her.
You better get dressed.
Marcus rolls out of bed, then stands. Later, when a cab pulls up to the building, Courtney gets in, but Marcus doesn't.
Okay.
Aren't you coming?
No, I've got an appointment. I'll see you when you get back.
Marcus?
You're a good thing.
Puzzled, she looks up at him. When he moves away from the window, the taxi moves off. Later, Courtney works with her writing partner.
Does that seem right?
Yeah, a little smoother. You're rushing it.
Should I start from there?
Yeah, start from the beginning.
Courtney looks up and waves as Marcus and another man enter her house carrying clothes and suitcases.
Oh. Come on, just go on here.
All right.
Finish!
It buries the lyrics.
No, I don't think so.
Courtney? Frank, Courtney, Bobby.
How do you do?
How do you do?
How are you?
Frank?
I should have junked most of it.
No, why?
I'll get the rest of it out of the car.
Oh, that's okay. I'll finish it up.
Well, then I'll take off.
Please, sit down.
What can I get for you?
Scotch.
Do you have any beer?
Oh, in the fridge, if there's any.
Bobby pauses, uncertain.
In the fridge.
So, you're Courtney?
Yes.
You want an autograph?
Excuse me?
He gestures vaguely.
I think we have some chips or something.
Oh, I'll get them.
Please sit down.
There you go.
Marcus hands Frank a drink, then gives another to Courtney.
Hello there.
Hi.
I put the key in the hand of a new tenant, stopped off at the post office, and left off my new address.
Very efficient. Mm-hmm. I hope you can put up with me.
You get points for being disabled.
When he kisses her cheek, she smiles sarcastically.
I don't think you're kidding.
Marcus chuckles.
Are you staying for dinner, Frank? It is Frank, right?
Yes, I don't think so.
Which?
Well, I'll be pushing off.
They all pause awkwardly.
I'm going. I'll see you, Mark.
Okay.
Frank stands.
Don't get up. I hope that we'll be seeing more of each other.
Nice to meet you.
Yes, take care.
Yeah, thanks for the help, Frank.
You bet, right.
Frank and Bobby leave, then Marcus turns to Courtney.
It took two cars.
Oh?
Very sad.
Was it?
Mm. He flops on a couch.
I just threw it together. The sum total of Mark Simon, to call of an hour, maybe less. There wasn't a trace of me anywhere.
It's all right. I recognized you the moment you walked through the door.
They smile at each other tenderly. Later, Courtney listens to a tape and makes notes. In an adjoining bedroom, Marcus gets up, then walks sleepily toward the living room in his pajamas. Looking up, Courtney sees him.
Oh, I'm up for the night. Go back to sleep.
I'll wait.
How about some milk?
And cookies.
I know, I live here.
Marcus trudges sleepily toward the kitchen as Courtney continues writing. In the kitchen, Marcus opens the fridge as Courtney tosses her pen aside in frustration.
I give up. I'm blank.
Marcus leaves the kitchen.
Read me a brief.
You're asking for it.
I'm sorry. You look so funny.
His hair an unruly mess. He grins at her.
I love you. More than anything, anywhere, anytime. I love you.
I thought you'd never get around to it.
I've told you.
Never.
Pondering, she looks away.
Well, now you know.
You're full of surprises.
He bends to kiss her and spills milk on her by accident. The next day, when Marcus answers the door in his pajamas, Jamie and Jennifer stare at him in astonishment.
Come in.
Inside.
Hi.
Courtney wears a nightgown.
Oh, you remember Jennifer?
You remember Marcus?
They all fidget uncomfortably.
Well, everybody want coffee?
I'll fix it.
As Courtney moves to the kitchen, Jamie tries to keep a straight face.
Well, you find my father a difficult client?
I don't represent your father.
No, it's too bad. Should have got to know him.
Hearing this, Courtney laughs. Later, Jamie and Courtney walk at the seaside.
Shocked? Horrified?
Mean? I like perversion.
You're mean. God will punish you.
He has. And you're a big girl now. It's time you left home.
I make bad mistakes.
Well, that's one of the advantages. You get so you like it. Be good to yourself, Courtney.
Solemnly, he walks away.
And I?
She ponders his words. Later, at a PTA meeting, a woman approaches Courtney and sticks a name badge on her jacket.
Oh, you needn't have troubled.
Oh, it's no trouble. Is there anything I can get for you?
No, thanks.
The woman walks away past a group of parents.
But I can't bring myself to land on somebody.
A blonde woman notices Courtney standing alone on her crutches and approaches her.
We have a boy in the fourth grade. Oh, Eric Hanna. You have children in school? No, I'm the tennis coach.
The blonde stares at Courtney, mortified.
Yes.
Courtney turns away. Marcus crosses the room toward Courtney.
I'd like to leave. I don't know what I'm doing here.
You're with me.
Miss Frank, how are you doing?
Fine, Evan.
Conscientious parent?
Frank approaches Marcus and Courtney.
I have been trying to get over here all evening. It's good to see you again. You two, been in hiding.
Not really.
Frank looks for a chair.
Oh, I don't want to sit down, Frank.
Have you people eaten?
Yes.
No.
Courtney and Marcus eye each other. Frank shifts uncomfortably.
Because a few of us thought we'd grab a bite to eat somewhere. You know, Lan and Danny.
Why not?
Another time.
Rain check, then. Annie's come through in good shape, hasn't she?
They all look at a woman across the room who stares back.
She's a survivor.
It stings a little, doesn't it? Did me.
Later, Marcus and Courtney arrive home.
I'll make dinner.
Unsmiling, Marcus watches as she moves toward the kitchen.
Do you give a damn what I do?
I know what you do. Marcus, I don't know those people. I have nothing in common with those people.
They're friends.
Well, I will try to do better.
She turns her back on him, but he follows her into the kitchen.
You're a bloody snob, Courtney.
Right.
For God's sake, Courtney, come at me.
All right. I can handle me. Me. I know how to do that. But your friends wondering what kind of a specialty act you're doing is more than I can manage right now. I don't like what I feel then. I don't like what I become. So bear with me and don't expose me to that.
He stares at her angrily.
Not fair.
There's no such word. Why are you with me, Marcus? Do you know?
Because you're great in bed.
Don't.
I haven't taken a test since I passed the bar. I make you happy. That's the fact, isn't it? That's the reality. What does anything else mean? Take it. It belongs to you. And forgive me the rest if it makes it any better.
Courtney's expression softens.
I didn't mean for this, Marcus.
He moves to her side.
It's going to be all right.
Yes?
He nods.
Here's a promise.
The next morning, the two open their mail at breakfast.
What?
Annie, my wife. She's got style. RSVP. I'm allowed a guest. Want to come?
I'll pass. What's it to?
A wedding.
Hers?
Yeah, of course, hers.
You're going?
I'm invited.
Courtney takes a sip of coffee.
What?
I didn't say anything.
Marcus looks down at the invitation. At the wedding reception, Marcus looks at the double-decker wedding cake. Putting down his champagne glass, he turns and crosses the room toward an older woman.
Oh, nice job, Willow.
Hello, Mark. Oh, I'm glad you came.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to see you.
He turns toward the bride.
My blessings.
Then stoops to kiss her hand.
Thanks for the invitation. It was very thoughtful of you.
Evan insisted.
Oh, he did. Well, good for Evan. You make a beautiful bride.
You always do.
Are you going to start, Mark?
No. Scout's on.
Who's what?
Marcus turns to a man.
There you are.
Mark, glad you could come.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Howard, you're a klutz.
He kisses him on the mouth.
But you mean well.
Just like home again.
Later, in darkness, Courtney waits in bed as Marcus enters the house. As he approaches a closet, she snaps a light on. Turning toward her, he peers at her through the bright light.
Don't wake up.
All right.
She watches him lurching drunkenly as he takes off his clothes.
Nice wedding.
Beautiful.
Were you a big hit?
Yeah, it was properly disgraceful.
Oh, good.
You upset?
What for?
That's right. Where'd the Ford? I didn't stay. She's really torn it this time.
Courtney reaches for the lamp.
I'm beginning to wonder how many cripples live in this house.
That's very good. I beg your apologies. I am terribly sorry.
She looks at him bitterly, then rolls over, turning her back to him.
I'm tired, Marcus. Good night.
As Marcus observes her thoughtfully, Courtney lies on her pillow, her eyes wide open, thinking. The next day, Courtney drops Marcus off at the airport.
Take care.
Paul?
Yes.
Marcus turns, picks up his baggage, then walks away from the car without a backward glance. Puzzled, Courtney watches him go. Putting her car in gear, she drives off. Later, Marcus phones Courtney.
Hello.
Hi.
Did I wake you?
No. I was waiting for your call. I can't sleep alone anymore.
His face is dispassionate.
What's wrong with that?
I love you.
I'm glad.
Didn't it go well?
Yes, it went fine. Why?
I don't know. I'll pick you up at the airport.
I don't know what time I'll be getting in.
Oh.
You all right?
Yes. I'm fine.
Good night.
Yes.
Courtney listens to the dial tone, baffled. The next day, Courtney's dining table is set for two. Courtney sits nearby, reading, then glances at her watch. When Marcus enters, she puts a book aside and looks up. Carrying his bags, Marcus walks into the living room.
Welcome home.
He glances at the dining table.
Yeah, that's nice. Very nice.
It's the maid's night out.
Marcus puts his bags down.
So we're alone.
Yes, we're that.
Terrific.
I can call and invite a few friends if you like.
Moving toward her, he studies her coolly.
Who would those be?
Whoever you say.
When Marcus keeps staring at her, Courtney looks at him, perplexed.
Let's eat, right?
Later, over dinner.
Did you see Jamie?
No. I gave him a call, told him you were fine, asked if he was fine. He's fine.
Courtney looks at Marcus, trying to assess his mood.
Fine.
Unnerved, she takes a sip of wine. Bewildered, she tries to meet his gaze.
You need help packing?
Freudian slip.
Yes, I guess.
When he doesn't smile or meet her eyes, Courtney's expression changes as she realizes what's happening.
It wasn't, was it?
He shakes his head.
No.
Stunned, Courtney covers her face with her hands.
I'm sorry. I wasn't ready.
Don't, Courtney.
It just stops now. Is that how it works? This is new for me.
Stop it.
God knows I don't want to make it difficult for you, Marcus.
Stop it, Courtney.
I want it done right.
You want me to stay? Is that what you want?
Yes. I want you to stay.
I can't handle it.
God, please, you don't hear me.
I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt anybody. You mean something to me. But I cannot handle it.
I don't understand what that means. Give me more than that.
Turning away, he stands and walks a few steps from the table.
I can't breathe, Courtney. There's you and me, and no one's allowed entry. There's a threat out there. We've locked it out, and we're safe. And God knows I won't take that away from you. It's too fragile. And I can't breathe.
I don't know what you're talking about, Marcus.
He returns to his seat, then looks her straight in the eye.
It's over, Cord. Let's not beat it to death. Let go.
I love you.
Don't say it.
I need you, Marcus.
I don't know who I am anymore. I'm cut off from me and burying into you. We can't pull it off, Court. Let go.
Courtney struggles to contain herself.
Yes. All right.
Marcus looks at her, then walks away from the table.
Okay. It's all right.
She sips her wine.
It's all right.
In the dining room, she stares down at the table as he stands nearby, his back to her, gazing at a wall. Later, Courtney sits at a table on her patio, her eyes looking straight ahead into the darkness. She turns her head toward the sound of Marcus leaving, but remains on the patio, unmoving and alone, surrounded by the darkness of the night. Later, she sits on a couch in her living room. She buries her face in her hands. In her bedroom, Courtney lies staring at the ceiling as if in a trance. The next day, she drives by the seashore. Approaches the Golden Gate Bridge. She crosses the bridge in light traffic. She takes an exit at Berkeley. Pulling to a stop, she parks her car. Carrying a coat, Jennifer moves toward her apartment door, then opens it.
Courtney, come in.
Courtney enters the apartment, then looks around.
Is Jamie home? No, he's in class. Can you stay? Yes. Are you just leaving? Oh, it's all right. Would you like some coffee or something? No, not anything, thanks.
Courtney walks around the room, peering at paintings on the wall.
They're Jamie's. Yes. I see. This is very nice. It's okay.
Jennifer walks to Courtney's side.
Would you stay for dinner? I mean, could you?
Courtney considers the offer.
Yes, that would be very nice. Thanks. Is Mark with you?
Courtney is not prepared for the question.
No. He couldn't make it. Oh, I should have picked you up at the airport. Where did you land, Oakland? I drove up. Actually, I was just getting ready to go to the store. Oh, go on ahead. Sure? Sure.
Courtney looks at Jennifer's swollen stomach. Smiling happily, Jennifer strokes her belly.
The place is yours.
With a faint smile, Courtney looks her in the eyes, then nods. Jennifer picks up her coat and moves toward the door. Opening it, she hesitates for a moment, then leaves. Face a vacant mask. Courtney moves across the room. Entering the kitchen, she moves toward the sink. She leans on the counter beside the sink.
We can't pull it off, Courtney. I can't handle it.
She pours water into a glass, then contemplates it.
Let go. Let go. I can't handle it. I can't handle it.
She squeezes the glass between her hands. Oh. As her blood trickles over the shards of glass that lie in the sink, Courtney raises her hands in horror. Oh. Later, Jamie arrives outside the apartment and sees Courtney's car parked there. Inside the building, he bounds up the stairs, then opens the apartment door. He sees groceries strewn on the floor beside Courtney's crutches. He turns to see Jennifer huddled in shock nearby.
What is it?
I called. Where were you? Oh my God, Jamie.
What is it?
She tore herself open.
Jamie stares at her, horrified. Later, in a hospital room, Jamie sits mournfully beside Courtney's bed. When Courtney stirs, he looks at her.
You muffed it.
I know.
Can't you do anything right?
It was a good try.
Hurts like hell, doesn't it?
A lot.
You go back to sleep. I'm here.
Later, Jamie and Courtney sit on a park bench not far from the church. Courtney's left wrist is bandaged.
We're going to have a baby. That's sensational, isn't it?
Yes.
Jennifer's ticked at me because I'm not going to marry her. This baby is not going to be family property. They have a lousy track record.
Hear, hear.
When he dies, I'll marry her.
We're not so bad.
What, you and me?
She nods. Then looks solemnly at her brother.
You didn't call Marcus.
He avoids her eyes.
Oh, I didn't think to.
She stares at him, disbelieving.
Well, it crossed my mind. Yes, I called.
Wrong.
No harm done.
He couldn't handle it.
Well, your gesture was very heroic because you got style, but neither could you, Courtney.
She considers his words.
He calls.
Really?
Yep. When you're in the hospital, every day, twice a day.
Oh.
Look, he'll come if you want him to come.
Jamie puts his arm around her.
Welcome to the world. You got yourself loved.
Did I?
Now you tell me.
Pausing, she thinks about his question.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with him then.
Me too. We were something, you know. We were brand new. Someone touched me. I
touched someone. We knew each other. For a while, we had it all. That's a very rare thing.
He nods.
Don't go home, Courtney.
All right.
No, I mean home, home.
I knew what you meant.
Jamie rolls up a paper bag, grabs one of Courtney's crutches, then hops over to a trash bin and dumps the bag in. Returning to the bench, he hands the crutch to his sister.
You'll be all right.
Then he helps her to her feet.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not. Forgot how much fun those used to be. What do you want to be if you grow up?
If? I don't know. Almost everything. Hey, what?
Together, they walk into a beautiful flower garden. This described version of the affair was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written by Peter Agnes, narrated by Elva Mae Hoover, and produced by Valerie Hunter. Cast: Natalie Wood as Courtney Patterson, Robert Wagner as Marcus Simon, Bruce Davison as Jamie Patterson, Jamie Smith Jackson as Jennifer. Co-starring: Pat Harrington as Frank, Kent Smith as Mr. Patterson, Paul Ryan as Bobby, Frances Reed as Mrs. Patterson, Mark Roberts as Howard, and Anna Aries as Annie Simon. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audiovision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755.